Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The Cam Valley Forum says all is not well with the River Cam. They say the pressures of our current resource-dependent lifestyle lacks an appreciation of natural systems. Stephen Tompkins is from the Cam Valley Forum, but he knows a bit about all of this stuff because he was previously Director of Studies for Biological Sciences and Head of Science Faculty at Homerton College, amongst other things. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you very much
for
coming.
Good morning, Julian. Very nice to be with you.
Thank you. So who makes up the Cam Valley Forum other than yourself?
The Cam Valley Forum is what you'd call a community group, and the welfare, I suppose, of the River Cam is what we're most concerned with. Mm. We have, you know, a committee that represents all sorts of things, like boating interests, people who swim, people who fish, people who birdwatch, people who walk, naturalists. All sorts.
Okay, and this manifests...
And by naturalists, I mean people who keep their clothes on. But
yes, that does, you know, sort of temptation
interested
to
in
wander,
plants
wander
and insects.
Off.
Yes.
And fauna. The manifesto, which I know people can get online, I think we should probably pop up a link on our website a little later on. But it says that the River Cam doesn't actually have enough water flow to function properly.
Yep. Well,
so is this something which has changed over time, or has that always been the case?
It has changed, but the first thing that any person needs to understand is that the Cam, as you see it in Cambridge, is a highly canalised system.
Which means what?
We've got weirs at, you know, Bates Bike, Jesus Lock, up by the Anchor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And up at Barron's Pool in Grantchester. So the flow is not something you really see, but you see plenty of water. There's always lots of water for punting.
That's interesting.
And rowing.
When I walk along past the boating sheds, the water is sometimes and pretty much still, isn't it? It doesn't feel like it's going anywhere.
Now, this spring, the Cam's flow was at the lowest level since 1949.
Right, and what has
and
caused that?
That means that something's wrong.
Mm.
Now, a lot of it is drought, and the Cambridge rainfall, which is pretty small, it's only half a metre, 53 inches or something, 50 centimetres rather, it goes up and down like a yo-yo from year to year. We have a very unreliable and not constant rainfall.
Because I kind of figure that Cambridge is possibly one of the driest places that I've ever lived in.
It is absolutely.
You know,
I don't know what
Manchester gets all the grief for being wet all the time,
yes,
and
that's right.
Nobody ever mentions poor old Cambridge, which could do with a spot of water
dry
for the lawn every once in a while.
Now, one thing we do have as a major advantage for our water supply is a massive amount of chalk that runs right through our area. You'll know it from Newmarket through to Royston.
Yeah.
That chalk is very permeable, and in the winter when it rains, there aren't plants to drink it up and use it up like they do in the summer. You might have noticed if you're a gardener that when it rains now, the water doesn't go in very far because your plants are taking it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the winter, when the plants are all asleep or dead, the water percolates very slowly through the chalk. And that chalk is a huge underground reservoir. It's absolutely wonderful.
And that's something which is, I hate to use the phrase pretty unique, because I know it's not really grammatically correct, but it is something which is very, very Cambridge compared to, say, other parts of the country.
It is. You're quite right. So all that water disappears. Now, traditionally, we used to get our water out of the rivers and from springs. And Cambridge had its water supply for many years out of the river because that was all we had to easily get hold of. That's why Cambridge undergraduates historically used to drink beer for breakfast, because it wasn't safe to drink the water.
I think many of them still do, actually.
Yeah. So, just to go back to that, you'll have heard of Hobson's Condit.
Oh, yes.
And Hobson and his horses and Hobson's Choice. Well, he was the guy who had the bright idea of bringing some really nice clean water into Cambridge from up near New Edinburgh's Hospital, okay, at nine wells, okay? There were lots of water coming out of the ground then, and we're talking 300 or 400 years ago, and he brought it in a conduit all the way into Cambridge. You only see it now running in those little runnels through Trumpington Street occasionally. But that used to be the main water supply for the city for at least two more hundreds of years. Then we needed some more water because there were more people. Went to Fulbourne, put in a pump. That ran dry after about 30 years. Moved up to the Fleam Dyke, put in another pump. That was adequate for half the county's water supplies.
I feel like until
1950. And there, now we've got more pumps and we've got water coming from other places and there is a huge demand.
Now, this is interesting because in the news yet again today, we have a story on more houses being built, this time the New Market Road. Was it 1,300, yeah. Lucy, that
that's
we had,
right, yeah.
had in the
yeah.
news there? That's another 1,300 yeah. homes with probably twice as many, at least, people going in them, putting yet more pressure yeah. on the River Cam, yeah. as you've described there. Yeah. Already yep. having problems. So I don't know how we can't just get more water back into a river, can we?
No, but what I've said to some of the planners is you're just not thinking ecologically about our lives. And you meet this all the time with climate change and carbon dioxide and what have you. The people who do the planning need to grow up and realise that the world is changing and we need to focus very carefully on what happens in nature.
But is the problem with the planners for, basically, as planners, but I guess if I was building a house, I'd probably try to avoid doing this, that and the other, if at all possible. However, I would like there to be a councillor who came along and said, no, you've got to do it this way.
Yes.
And is that maybe where the problem is?
Well,
is there not enough pressure going on the developers?
Yeah, we do have an environment agency, and their job is to safeguard the environment. They are very good people, they do a very good job, and they do record the state of the rivers, the state of the groundwater, the state of the pollution, and all that kind of thing. The problem is, as I see it, and as we have discussed, is that they are obliged to license the water companies so that they can take water. The water companies are obliged to supply anyone who wants water with water. Now, that is a problem. Because there are limits to resource availability.
And again, I suppose you come down to people have water meters. Who are the most likely people to have water meters? Single people who can save money.
Yes.
As opposed to families, yes. unless they move into a new yep. build, of course, yep. Where they might have a water meter. But of course, you look around yep. us here, there's all these wonderful yep. terraced houses, and you can bet it's the larger families who have decided not to take the water meter.
Yeah. Anyhow, just to go back to Nine Wells, it's pretty much dried up now. The Environment Agency are putting a new borehole augmentation through to Nine Wells. Now, that's really helpful because it's bringing more water into Hobson's Condit. But since the 1990s, we've been doing exactly this on every main chalk stream, pumping 20% of our groundwater is pumped into our rivers to make it look as if everything is all right. It ain't all right.
And have you seen an increase in the... Is there any indication? You mentioned the 1950s of the point at which there was some fall away of levels. Is there something which is, I don't know, ratcheting up as more and more of these new builds go up and around
the
us?
The water companies have been keeping pace with demand by bringing water from further afield. Now, what's dying are our chalk streams. The Wilbraham River this spring, someone took a walk along it and it was dry. The Upper Cam, Mike Foley, who's one of our people, took a video of that the other day, up above Saffron Walden. He was walking along a dry riverbed. Now, it's not just drought that's creating these things. The groundwater reserve, which should be charging those chalk streams all the time, should be running. Streams in a dry summer, chalk streams will be running with lovely clear water. If you go down to the Kennet, you'll see that. Those are some highly conserved rivers, mind you, but we are killing off our chalk streams. And chalk streams, you know, Britain has 85% of the chalk streams in the world. That's a lot.
And how do we safeguard those chalk streams? Is there anything that can be done, be it us as an individual, or as I suspect more likely the some of the corporate bodies around us, of things that they can do, or something that can be done instead to, at the very least, keep things as they are so the situation doesn't worsen further?
Well, I think we should take less groundwater. That would be a good start. And if we turned it off altogether, I know it would take years to recover the water flows that there were historically. Now, I don't think that's easily going to happen, because we need our water. So what we've got to do is either bring more water from somewhere else, as I see it, which is not easy to do, or we've got to be very much more economical. Now, there is one way of being more economical, and that is don't flush the loo so much. I think I can say on your programme, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
I think that's fine.
But if it's brown, wash it down.
People may have had their breakfast by now, so I think that's perfectly acceptable.
But that's not
acceptable.
A bad bit of advice.
No.
Although I feel it's hard, we've got to be more economical. Now, if you save roof water and collect it around a housing estate into a pool and pump it back up for flushing the loo, that is sustainable. It knocks your water consumption down by 40%, and they're doing it at Eddington.
Mm.
Now, Eddington is a pilot sustainability project. What I want to see is our planners say, right, Cambridge is the pilot place for sustainable water supplies. We're going to change the way we live. We're going to do it better.
I think that's a very good point to end on, actually, which is rather good. Cam Valley Forum, you have a website, I think, as well, where people can look at this this manifesto if they want to keep an eye on that. And just have a look on that. It's fairly easy to find. Stephen Tompkins, thank you very much.
And if I can say, Julian, just lastly...
Very quickly.
Go out, find some of these lovely chalk streams, have a look at them. Look at the clear, lovely weed and the damselflies and the dragonflies, and that's what you'll kill off if you just keep running the tap forever.
Good point.
It really is the case.
Thank you very much indeed. It is 20 minutes after 9. Thank you very much for your company. For me, Julian Clover.
And for me, Lucy Milazzo.
Top of the morning. Good morning.
We are back with Jukebox Friday and Food Club tomorrow at 7.
Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
Ah, the rhyme of the ancient mariner, Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
No, burst water main on the Victoria Road.